That's the first single from a new release by William Orbit. The artist, actually, is Strange Cargo. Hinterland is the name of the album, and that track is Million Town. And it is the first single from this forthcoming release. William Orbit is my guest, and I will be speaking with him in just a moment. Right before Strange Cargo, we heard from Hassan Hakmoon and Adam Rudolph. Gift of the Ganawa is the Flying Fish recording. And we heard one featuring Don Cherry on trumpet and Richard Horowitz playing some percussion. These guys will be my guests next Saturday afternoon at 4:15. They're playing later that night at Luna Park at 11 o'clock. Hassan Hakmoon from Morocco with special guests. That began the set. Now, well, we'll talk to William in just a moment, but first, must embarrass him a little bit, and this is Mission Implausible by William Orbit, his foray into spoken word.
Special delivery for Megamax Records.
This must be the tape we've been waiting for. I'll take that, thank you.
It's here, sir.
I'll put it on a cassette machine.
Right away, boss.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The voice you're about to hear is that of a well-known person whose identity must remain secret for the present. Your mission, if you should decide to accept it, is to realize his desire to have a multi-mega hit with the following song.
Blue, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own.
Good luck, gentlemen. This tape is timed to explode in approximately 30 seconds.
Insist.
Cut it's over
music.
Anyway.
Oh, how could you?
Sorry about that, William. But
I've forgotten that.
That's going to be a hit single, I'm afraid, on KCRW, don't you think?
I thought it was in the blackmail file.
Mission Implausible. That was something that you just fooled around with and just, you know.
I thought was dead and thought was forgotten forever.
Sorry about that. So William Orbit is my guest, and William is quite an instrumentalist, composer, remixer, producer, founder of Gorilla Records and Gorilla Studios. And, you know, Buzz Magazine chose you as one of the 100 coolest people in Los Angeles, and you haven't even been living here.
That's why. Liza, you were in that list too, weren't you?
Yeah.
Is there a parade? When do we get to kind of celebrate?
Well, you missed the whole celebration, William. Oh. You weren't here. You weren't living in LA to be really... I guess you're just an honorary cool Los Angelino.
A proxy member of the cool 100.
So where have you been? What have you been doing?
I've been in London, in my studio, kind of buried in a kind of monastic existence, making this music you're about to preview. I thought I'd come over to Los Angeles for a bit of peace and quiet. Of course, I turned up just when I've got some serious flooding. Mm-hmm. Or just after, in fact. I missed the flooding. I sat on the plane next to a fellow passenger and I warned him what was going to happen. I said, you know, it's a federal disaster zone. They've got to get 72 hours worth of food. I really psyched him up for the whole business. And we got there and there wasn't a puddle in sight. It was just sunny. So I felt like a right fraud. So I timed it rather well.
So you've been working on four albums that we're going to hear. The first release is, let's see, in March or February? February.
Feb.
And that'll be Strange Cargo.
That's the album. And also a single from the second album. It's going to get very confusing, everybody. I warn you now. Because I'm confused. That first track sounded very interesting. I was sitting here in this, because I don't know, we've obviously the track, you know, to the listeners is created to soundscape and that's how it should be. But in this studio, it's hustling, bustling, burly, hurly-burly and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at this cabinet full of equipment. I don't know what any of it does. I thought I knew about equipment, but it's all mystery to me.
Lots of demods and satellite feeds and stuff like that, yeah.
Well, I'm really interested in the way that it compresses the track and the way it brings the vocals out. That's fascinating to me. I know it's designed to do that because you're talk station, but all that, I don't know if you heard all that stuff talking in the background of the track. There's kind of a few layers of dialogue in there. Mm-hmm. Very, very quiet in the mix. And I was really able to hear the words.
That's good.
And I, it was kind of...
So I don't, do you like the compression or do you dislike the compression on your music when you listen to it on the radio?
I rather like it because it's such a radical, it kind of, it adds this extra dynamic, but it's a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
And these headphones I'm listening to are very, very clear. So it's bringing out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to kind of hide behind a certain mask of muddiness. You know, it's a bit scary. It's a bit as if you had a large spotlight shining on you. You know, you see your spots, don't you, in your face and, you, and your blemishes. And it's the same with music.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get used to it. By the time we finish, I'll probably be...
dancing.
I'll be.
Well, we first heard a track from Strange Cargo. It's not gonna, you know, you've had three Strange Cargo albums, and this is the fourth one in the series, but it's not going to be called Strange Cargo 4 by William Orbit. Instead, it'll be called Hinterland by Strange Cargo, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so this is the first release, and we heard one from that already. And the second release will be which one? Caroline Lavelle.
Second album is Caroline Lavelle.
Who is a vocalist and a cellist.
Yeah.
We'll be hearing stuff from that. The third release in this series will be by Torch Song, which is a band that you're in with Laurie Mayer and Rico Conning.
Yeah.
And that'll be released in April.
Sort of third Monday in April. This, we're talking of the UK here.
Right, of course. I have to keep that in mind. And then the fourth release will be a collection of your interpretations of some classical pieces.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called Pieces in the Modern Style, which is an allusion to one of the tracks on it, which is actually called Pieces in the Olden Style by Goretzky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of an experimental venture. It's my interpretation of some classic pieces. I don't actually read music or have any real education in that area, so it's been a kind of gut feeling approach to certain classics.
Okay, and we'll hear one from that, and it's Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, so that's coming up. But first I'd like to play another from Strange Cargo.
Can I interrupt here, Eliza? You've not got any more surprises, have you?
Not like that, no. Oh, the rest is all from these forthcoming releases, I promise, William. William Orbit is my guest. I'm Liza Richardson. It's Total Eclipse on KCRW. And this track is from Hinterland by Strange Cargo, the first release in your, well, it's a new label. We'll talk about the label in a moment. But now this one features a familiar voice to KCRW listeners. And maybe we should just leave it as a surprise.
Yeah.
It's called Montauk Point, right? Montauk Point. Strange Cargo, William Orbit is my guest. You're listening to KCRW and Total Eclipse. Thank you.
time she'd go out on the porch where her mother could see her and roll a joint. And Lorraine would have a smile on her face that made her look a little crazy. As if she had a secret that no one else knew. I liked watching her.
Thank you.
tune called Leg in Love, and it's by the vocalist Caroline Lavelle, who is also the cellist on the recording. And the remix is by Sugar J. And nice. William Orbit is my guest. You produced this album.
Yeah, I haven't heard that mix since I left the studio, actually. It sounds fresh to me. I'm very pleased. He's got that vocal whizzing across the stereo like that. It's great.
Yeah.
Great.
Sugar J, he's done some remixes, I think, for, let's see, Lush. I know he did one of those recently.
Ronin. Yeah. I think he did an Underworld. Kind of a, what's that album with those kind of Easter Island things on the cover? Ultramarine.
Ultramarine, yeah. Right.
But his biggest thing, his best thing to date is this track, definitely.
Yeah.
I think so.
Anyway. Now, speaking of remixes, you just got some bad news.
And I'm not saying that in any kind of psyched up record company kind of promo kind of way. I really think that. The bad news.
The bad news on the phone, Soundgarden remix by 808
oh,
State.
Oh, please don't. I can't bear the thought of it. I really, this somebody's just rang up, a guy called Laszlo Nibble. No, Bratmix. And he said, what would you like to do? What would you like to mix? And I said, look at me, I'm choked. I'd like to do Soundgarden. And I just found out that 808 State have done one.
Yeah.
There you go.
That would be great. Would you like to produce rock and roll records?
Depends. I mean, that Soundgarden album has just got me all year. I've been hammering that one really loud. It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Spiritual, really. Fantastic. I don't know what I'd do. I mean, if you put me in the studio with Soundgarden, I'd be at a loss, I think. I wouldn't really know how to take the session. I don't think they need me. I think they've got everything they need. They sound fantastic. You know, they don't need me.
Well, that would be cool. It would make a new sound or something. It could be cool. But so anyway, we just heard from Caroline Lavelle, Leg in Love is the track. Now, that's a remix, but the original version will be on her album, which will be called Spirit, which is coming out in the UK in March. It's the second release in this series. The first one in this set was entitled Montauk Point, and it's from the album Hinterland by Strange Cargo. It features the voice of Joe Frank. Now, what gave you that idea? I guess you were here. Living in Los Angeles and listening to a lot of KCRW.
That's it. I'm tuning in regularly, and especially to In the Dark, which I just think is wonderful. I love Joe's work, and he kindly allowed me to use some material, which I kind of chopped up somewhat, and he's been very gracious about allowing that. But I think Joe's brilliant, and I would like to do more work with him. That's the only track on the album that features it. I've only just found out where Montauk Point is. Your assistant Michael here has just filled me in on the geography of it, where it is and everything. But
thanks, Michael.
But Joe is a man who.
Where is it? I'm not even sure myself.
Michael, it's north of New York, is it?
Eastern
New York, on the eastern side. But forget all that, because really it's a place that Joe and I have painted a topography that doesn't really rely on conventional maps. You don't need that.
That's true. So the label within Warner Brothers that you're heading up is called Engram, which means an anagram. What does it mean?
Radio doesn't do justice to the visuals here. I mean, I need to be on TV to get this across properly. It's moved down the corridor to the next studio. But it's a reference to the motif, which is my logo, an anagram. Mm-hmm. And the engram. Bit easier to say. I've had difficulty in pronouncing it. Ah, is that blueberry juice? It's organic, isn't it?
Sure.
Great.
Ken Spector has kindly brought in some blueberry juice.
Refreshments
and you like healthy things like that, don't you? From Mrs. Gooch's is your favorite place.
I know.
Are you buying stock in Mrs. Gooch's?
I think I should.
Yeah.
I think I should. I love that place.
How's the blueberry juice?
Let me just tell you. What a huge beaker of blueberry.
I'm going to be having coffee, not blueberry juice.
Really nice. One of the best things about LA and like California in general is the food, especially after London. That store is just brimming. I mean, I hate to say this, I hate to diss my own town, but sometimes the health food stores there are just really sorry. They're really grubby, you know, and you can't even move because there's no space. And you come here and they have these massive, massive organic markets. It's just joyous. Love it.
Well, next we're going to hear something from Torch Song. I want to talk more about your label, but let's do some station business and listen to Torch Song next, which is the third. Excuse me.
It's a blueberry juice.
the third album in the Engram release schedule for spring 95. And these are UK releases, but you'll be hearing them all the time on KCRW. And I don't think we know when they'll be released domestically yet. That's still undecided, right?
That's it.
Okay. You're listening to KCRW Santa Monica, KCRY Indio Palm Springs, and KCRU Oxnard Ventura. KCRW, a community service of Santa Monica College, National Public Radio for more of Southern California. William Orbit is my guest in the studio. I'm Liza Richardson. It's Total Eclipse.
A winning moment in the life of great winners. Cairo, 48 BC.
Cleopatra, my Roman legions stand at your palace gate, but I have not come to fight.
Caesar, I am not prone to argue.
Our next winning moments could be yours. You could win a week in Egypt. Stay 3 days in fabulous Cairo at the luxurious La Méridienne La Caire. Then sail the Nile for 5 incredible days aboard the elegant cruise ship La Méridienne Champollion. TWA, the most comfortable way to fly, will provide your magic carpet. Renew or send in your donation by February 6th, and you're entered in our 2 remaining sweepstakes. A week for 2 in Fiji or Egypt. Details are in your early renewal mailing. If you're not already a subscriber, call KCRW for information. Rules read daily. You're always a winner when you support KCRW.
Track is entitled Kiss of the Bee, and it's going to be on the forthcoming release by William Orbit under the name Strange Cargo. Hinterland will be the album, and it'll be available on Warner Brothers UK, but a specific imprint of your own, William, and it's called N-Gram Records, your own label within...
Mine.
within Warner Brothers.
Yes, very, very different than the Guerrilla Records situation, which was a... If you would like to... think of Guerrilla as a real label with, you know, boxes of records and boxes of vinyl sitting around and all the business with the getting it to the stores. Here I'm working with Warner's now, and you know, I can lean on them for all that legal side, which is the way I want it.
And the packaging and stuff, you don't have to worry about that yourself. That's nice.
It's an artistic venture rather than a business venture, and that's the best way for me, because I want to spend a lot of time doing music and not Wondering why so many boxes of the records still sitting in the floor and didn't go to such and such a store.
But Gorilla Records was a popular label.
It was.
It is now defunct, right?
Very defunct.
Mm-hmm. Now, your music has been available on IRS stateside and on Virgin in the UK, but now you have your own label, Engram, Warner Brothers, and you're working with Rob Dickens, your A&R person, who, for instance, is the man behind Enya, a woman who sold millions of records without doing interviews, touring, or making appearances. Yeah. So what does Rob have in mind for your career? I mean, he obviously has a lot of faith in you.
I think so. I think it would be fair to refer to him as an A&R man. I mean, it's something more than that. He's behind this whole label. And it's really nice to sort of watch people like that working because I think he's a marketing genius. I mean, witness that Enya experience, which is done with seemingly such low key, with such huge exposure and such wide exposure. I mean, everybody likes Enya, you know, or something. I remember that session you did in Echo Beach or Echo Park or something like that with those rappers, and a guy turned up with an Enya track on his blaster.
Yeah, Grandma's Warehouse in Silver Lake.
Yeah. I mean, that indicates the kind of wide appeal. And, you know, I think Rob must take the credit for that. How we work together, it remains, we just don't know. I mean, nobody's ever done anything like Engram before, really. It's not quite the same as anything else.
So what's your vision? And define, like, the sound of Engram. What is it's based on your work, basically, right? It's not going to be a label where you sign, you cover your bases and you signed a rock band and a...
No.
You know.
I mean, if we work with a rock band, it's because I'm directly involved with one.
Right.
The common denominator, I suppose, is me, by default, and for better or for worse.
Just stuff that you're involved in, whether it's you're in the band or you're the producer or...
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I could be involved quite tangentially. I mean, it doesn't have to be, I have to play all the instruments on everything. I think that would be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to just get into the cycle of signing up stuff for volume. And, you know, going back to Rob Dickens and Warners, I don't think that's what they want either. I think it would defeat the object of this whole thing. It's an artistic, the boundaries are defined artistically, if you like.
An ambient sort of...
Gorilla...
not really.
Ambient.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about the ambient word.
No.
Ooh, not the A word. I mean, ambient implies to me, ambient music's harder to do than people might think. It's I don't do it down at all, but an ambient record is something where a mood is established throughout, and I just find that very difficult to do. I keep wanting to change moods and create a kind of a dynamic within a record. There may be some ambient records coming out, but it's not exclusive to the label. You know, I'm going to try a lot of... This is a great chance to try out ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Just to tinker around with that envelope, you know?
Now, Torch Song, we heard from at the beginning of this set, right before the song that we just heard called Kiss of the Bee, which is on your Strange Cargo release. Before that, we heard Gumbo Yeah Yeah, that's by Torch Song. I find that Torch Song has a real dubby vibe to it.
It's gone a bit dubby, hasn't it, in recent years?
Reggae influence or something like that. You can't resist that kind of thing, it seems.
I cannot. I'm drawn to the bass.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear another one from Caroline Lavelle's record. Now, this is a remix from Spirit. The tune is Morlock Shore. Is this going to be the first single from this album?
Yeah.
Caroline Lavelle, and it's produced by William Orbit, who is my guest. You're listening to KCRW and Total Eclipse at 17 minutes after 4 o'clock.
I can feel the heat again. your eyes that thrilled with passion's fires. They watch my every whim. Some say my love, sweet love, was lost while crossing the raging main. Or perhaps he has gone with some other girl. I might never see his face again. But if my Irish love is lost, he's the one I do adore. And for 7 long years I'll wait for him on the banks of the Moloch
Thank you.
Music is by Torch Song, which is a band featuring William Orbit, Laurie Mayer, and Rico Conning. And we heard two there mixed together, Bright Blue Night and Ruler of My Heart by Torch Song. William Orbit is my guest in the studio, and Torch Song is the third release in your new album series, your label series, schedule, something.
Schedule. You say schedule, I say schedule. It's really enjoyable working with the Torch Song again, because we've left off recording since about 86. But, you know, the ideas still kind of have been mulching around since then. And now we kind of realized it onto vinyl. It's a really good feeling.
Torch Song was a band on IRS Records, and you were working with pretty much the same people. Well, let's see, it was Laurie.
Yeah.
And another member, I forget whose name.
Another, Grant Gilbert, who left. Right. He was more of a manager, really, than a, if you can even call him that, to be honest, but wasn't very musically involved. And Rico has been there, you know, as our friend and collaborator since those early days anyway. So it seemed logical that he should become part of Torch Song.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the songs are written by him.
So 1986 is the last time you guys put a Torch Song album out.
Something like that.
Yeah, so it's about...
Back in the horrible days of the 80s, the musical wilderness that was the 80s.
How do you feel about your music that you made in the 80s?
There's one or two things that... Well, hang on. Is this a trick question, Liza?
No, I haven't got anything else you're going to play. I have no plan on that question.
No, there's a few things that make me cringe that I did. I'm really hard on myself anyway with music. With the stuff I do, you know, sometimes I do the unthinkable. I break the cardinal rule, and I tell people that are working with me, you know, say the record company, how much I hate a particular track that I've done, and you know, it's not good. Mm-mm. But it's a kind of, you know, it's a compulsion that I sometimes fall prey to. You know, it's insecurity, but distance can also sometimes lend a kind of warm glow to one's music as well. I don't know. It's been nice listening to stuff in the studio. The ideal is to drive down Pacific Coast Highway with a kind of cyberlink to the studio, and you can mix it as you listen. You're in your car. You think you want some more bass. You just kind of get your mouse out in the car, and it all happens automatically. That's the ideal.
That would be great. So you've worked with Seal, Madonna, Lenny Kravitz, Prince, Peter Gabriel, Sting, Depeche Mode, just to name a few. Also, more underground artists like Spooky and Underworld, Kruder and Dorfmeister doing a remix of one of your forthcoming singles, and Sven Vath. Now, what's in the future? Are you guys going to do a big N-gram records tour, possibly, with all the different incarnations of
that? Would be a blast. That would be good.
When do you think you might go on tour?
I wouldn't mind doing some festivals. I'd like to do Glastonbury, but it wouldn't be like a huge affair. It'd be quite low key, you know, one of the smaller stages, just to get the hang of it. But definitely some kind of road show would be good. Mm-hmm. That would be, you put your finger on it. You've tapped into quite an ambition there.
Going on tour would be a big thing. I mean, you haven't gone on tour since your days with Bass-O-Matic.
That's right. And a couple of DJ gigs I did, but Bass-O-Matic was really fun. And it was always basically on the premise that, this microphone's popping. Is that me?
Microphone?
Mm-mm. As a record producer, I have a phobia about microphone pops.
It sounds fine to me.
Oh, good. I haven't blown up any transmitters. Yeah, you know, it's really good fun. And the basic idea is to entertain and keep the bass pumping. You know, don't get too introverted. Don't try to sound too different than the records that are on either side. Because, you know, basically treat a gig like a 12-inch with performance as well. And you can't lose. And I can't wait to get out, particularly in America. I've never been to anywhere in America apart from the West and East Coast. I want to go to Middle America.
Yeah, that's right. So what about producing? Do you want to produce any other things that you can think of?
Yeah, I like to kind of work with real music. You know, that is acoustic instruments and... the band format, a little less maybe MIDI and
more guitars and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe quite soon, in fact.
Now, this is a remix of Million Town, which is the first single on Strange Cargo, Hinterland. We heard the original version at the top of the show, but this is the remix.
One of them.
That you did.
I did. I'm still waiting the Kruder and Dorfmeister mix. That's right. In the post.
You haven't heard anything from it yet. Okay. I look forward to hearing that myself. Well, William Orbit is my guest, and you're listening to Total Eclipse on KCRW. That's called Adagio for Strings. It's by Samuel Barber, and it was performed by William Orbit, who is my guest. How you doing there, William?
Hey.
It was moving.
Thanks.
Absolutely. It's interesting that you have absolutely no musical training, meaning you don't read music.
No.
So how did you get such a big orchestral sound on that particular track?
The sound is, well, sound is my territory. The actual musical notes, I had to have somebody help me with that, enter into my computer. Once it was in there, I actually didn't need to read the notes. I mean, I can hear what I need to hear, you know. I think actually possibly in some instances, knowing too much theory is a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can do it on a kind of more primal basis. That piece, I can never ever get tired of listening to that piece of music.
Yeah.
Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. It's just fantastic.
And that's going to be part of the fourth release in this series that's coming out this spring on Engram Records.
That's right.
Which is a division of Warner Brothers UK. The fourth record will be called...
It's called Pieces in the Modern Style, and that's a play on one of the pieces actually on the record, which is called Pieces in the Olden Style by Goretzky.
Right. And what other pieces are on? You've got Arvo Pärt on here.
Arvo Pärt. A couple of pieces from Arvo Pärt. Some Sati, which is... Luckily, I found... in fact, this went down to Rob Dickens too, because he got me into this whole thing in the first place. Tracks like Ogive from Sati, because I always thought Sati was either Gymnopédies, you know, kind of rather over-hackneyed, beautiful but overdone, or these unremittingly horrible pieces he would write in a kind of situationist style, like 18-hour pieces. But, you know, Rob found these pieces which were beautiful but not too well-known.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of this century's composers... there.
Mm-hmm. My, so Ogive by Sati.
Who else is there? There's a piece by
Beethoven.
Ravel. Beethoven's the only one out of this century, and it's because the piece itself is a very modal and unusual and typical piece for him. It fits in. I mean, if I didn't say it was Beethoven, many people might be caught by surprise by that.
What about Charade by Mancini? Is that on there?
No, it definitely isn't. Mm-hmm. They would just be us. See, that's where I was headed before. That's what I was doing. I was doing that kind of thing, and pieces by Nino Rota, and it just seemed, didn't seem right. So when Rob came out with all this Arvo Pärt stuff, it just bowled me over, and then suddenly there seemed no place for Mancini, even though I like Mancini. I mean, that could be another record.
Right.
This whole classical experience, I've got to say, it's been my most exciting and... I've got off a Mornes project than anything else because it's just so pure.
And it's so different from the other stuff that you've been doing.
So different. You just get lost inside it. And you're lost inside of somebody's mind 300 years ago who created those notes. And you're just really a vessel for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's humbling, and it's really a good experience.
Cool. Now, how far into technology are you? I mean, are you online? I mean, do you participate? I mean, obviously, you have some pretty extraordinary programs to put your music together and to make samples and to come up with your sounds. But
what I need, but I don't really...
Do you embrace the whole thing that's happening right now, the revolution in technology?
I kind of ration myself because, I mean, I want to make music. I don't want to... I know I could spend all day long on a Mac, you know, learning about mousing around the internet, and I hadn't had that kind of time. You know, I need to be creative, so I ration myself off from technology to a certain extent, and now and then I get into a terrible pickle, to be honest. I mean, I'm sitting alone in the middle of the night in my studio and something breaks down. You know, what am I to do? I had to patch around it somehow. I could use a bit of help there, I tell you. It's a bit overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. Now, so you finished four albums in the last 6 months, so you must not ever leave the studio. Do you ever go out of your studio?
Hey, I'm here, Liza.
Well, I'm glad that the plane brought you. But I mean, back in London, what about?
In London, it's a bit of a sort of cerebral life. You know, it's a little bit, although I couldn't leave London. I couldn't ever say goodbye permanently to London. It's like I might be in my studio for sort of 10 months, but I still feel like I'm part of the whole thing that is London.
Mm-hmm. But do you go out much or not really, not right now?
Now and then I get out. I went to see the Dust Brothers recently, and that was like a kind of drinking a cup of coffee, you know, that kind of thing.
Do you get to experience like all the new vibes and scenes that are happening in London, like jungle music or trip hop?
You cannot get away from jungle. Yeah. No way. But actually, see, Goldie was, who's one of the instigators. I don't know if you heard of Goldie?
I don't think so.
You will. Anybody who follows jungle is going to be hearing about Goldie. He started that whole thing. His whole thing was recorded upstairs in a back room at Gorilla about 2 or 3 years ago. So I heard what you'd say was seminal jungle coming. I mean, I could not help but hear it because he just monitored so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Drove everybody absolutely insane, actually. But as things got faster and faster with their BPMs, you know, up to 140, 150, I heard all that in process of being done.
That sounds... Well, I'm glad you're here in Los Angeles for a while. And how long are you going to be around?
couple of weeks.
Just for vacation.
Yeah.
Just taking it easy.
Depends on the weather. I mean, any more natural disasters, I might split.
Go back into your monastic existence in the studio. No, I think you should stay out here, get as much sun as possible, and enjoy the Mrs. Gooch's and, you know, the weather and stuff. Suits you.
Thanks.
William Orbit, thank you very much for stopping by KCRW. And we're going to go out with another one from Strange Cargo. This one has a lot of acoustic guitar on it. Actually, that's next. Which one is it? What's it called? El Nino, I think.
I've got to say, that was the one that was literally done with a taxi waiting to take the record to the cut in London. It was a last minute thing.
Oh,
just
really?
Banged out an acoustic song.
That's next.
This is the one for the PCH drivers.
Right, to remix as you're driving.
Well, just to put your foot on the gas for this one.
That's next. You're listening to KCRW and Total Eclipse. My guest is William Orbit.
This broadcast time is made possible in part by The Madness of King George, the new film from the Samuel Goldwyn Company, directed by Nicholas Heitner, starring Nigel Hawthorne, Helen Mirren, and Ian Holm, now playing at selected theaters.
This evening on KCRW Playhouse, tune in to Joe Frank in the Dark at 6. If you're ready for a good haunting, be listening at 6:30 to The Woman in Black, a ghost story complete with terrifying family secrets and an evil apparition that leads the hero to the brink of insanity and death. Playhouse continues at 8:30 with a bizarre modern fairy tale, How I Met Franz. Your living room's your theater, Saturday and Sunday nights, 6 to 9 when you tune to KCRW Playhouse. This is KCRW.
This broadcast time is made possible in part by The Madness of King George.
I want some red roses for a blue lady.
KCRW can help you send a Valentine to someone special. If you call 1-800-987-ROSE, you can send roses to a loved one. But your call does something for you as well. It helps support the programs you enjoy, and it enters you into our 2 winter subscription drive sweepstakes. It's an easy way to wish a happy Valentine's Day to someone you know or love, and to yourself. Call now and do it for the love of KCRW and National Public Radio. It's as easy as calling 1-800-987-ROSE.
It's 5 o'clock. This is KCRW Santa Monica.
Good evening from National Public Radio in Washington. I'm Jackie Leiden with All Things Considered.